بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 35th hadith from Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. And the author said, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يكذبه ولا يحقره التقوى هاهنا ويشير إلى صدره ثلاث مرات بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه رواه مسلم. This hadith has been narrated by Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تحاسدوا, do not envy each other, do not have jealousy against each other, ولا تناجشوا, and do not inflate prices against each other, ولا تباغضوا, and do not hate each other, ولا تدابروا, and do not cut off from each other, ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض, and do not undercut each other in selling and buying, وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا, and be as worshippers of Allah, brothers to each other. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. The Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. La yadhlimuhu, he does not oppress him. Wa la yakhdhuluhu, and he does not betray him. Wa la yakdhibuhu, and he does not lie to him. Wa la yahqiruhu, and he does not belittle him. He said, At-taqwa hahuna. At-taqwa is here. وَيُشِيرُ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتِ, and he pointed to his chest three times. And then he said, بِحَسَبِ امْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ, it is sufficient as evil for a person that he belittles his Muslim brother. كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامِ, every part of a Muslim is sacred towards another Muslim. Damuhu, his blood, wa maluhu, his property, wa irduhu, and his honor, rawahu Muslim. So this hadith has been narrated by the virtuous companion Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar from the tribe of Ad-Daws, originating from Yemen. And his name was Abdul Shams. Before Islam, his name was Abdul Shams. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed his name to Abdul Rahman. And this kunya Abu Huraira, it is more of a laqab, like a nickname. And the meaning of Huraira is a kitten. And Abu Huraira, i.e. the companion of the kitten. Because Abu Huraira, when he was younger, he was a shepherd looking after cattle. And he had with him a kitten that he used to care for and look after and feed. And so he was given this name, Abu Huraira. And he was born, or rather he accepted Islam 7 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he came to Al-Madinah and he joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam 7th Hijri. And at that time he was 28 years old. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in order to convey this knowledge to us, he went through many difficulties and struggles. And Abu Hurairah was from Ahl al-Suffah, from the people of al-Suffah, who didn't have with them much in terms of wealth and property. And they were the poor and the needy from the people of al-Madina. So much so that they used to stay in al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And Abu Hurairah mentions one day his struggle for food and drink. That a time came that he was so hungry that he used to tie stones to his stomach. And one day he had this stone which was tied to his stomach because of the hunger which he was going through, radiallahu anhu. And he came out from his house and he passed by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when he came to Abu Bakr, he asked him about the tafsir of an ayah. However, he knew the tafsir of the ayah. Abu Hurairah knew the tafsir of the ayah. But he hoped that perhaps if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw him and it was time to eat food, that Abu Bakr would take him with him and they could have food together. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he answered his question and then he walked away. And then as he was walking, he came to Umar radiallahu anhu. And also he asked Umar a question regarding the tafsir of an ayah, even though he knew the meaning of the ayah, hoping again that maybe he will accompany Umar and they can eat together. And also Umar radiallahu anhu, he answered his question and then he walked away. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew the real reason and intent why Abu Hurairah has come. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took him by his hand and he took him to his house. And when the Prophet entered into his house, he saw that a utensil full of milk was in his house. So he said to his family, "Min ayna lakum hadha?" That this utensil full of milk, where has it come from? And they replied, "Ursila bihi ilayk." That this milk was sent to us as a gift for you, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he turned to Abu Bakr. He said, "Ya Aba Hurairah, intaliq ila ahl al-suffa fad'uhum." O Abu Hurairah, go to ahl al-suffa and call them. I call them so they can drink this milk. Fahazina Abu Hurairah. So Abu Hurairah, he became saddened and anxious. He mentions himself in the hadith. He said, "Kuntu arju an ashrab min al-laban." Because I was hoping that I'd be the one who's drinking from this milk. And it's only a utensil of milk. "Ataqawwa biha baqiyata yawmi wa laylati." And then maybe I have enough energy with me for the rest of my day and night. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ordered him to go call Ahl al-Suffa so they can drink the milk. So he went to them and he called Ahl al-Suffa and they came to the chambers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet turned to Abu Hurairah. He said, "Ya Aba Har, khudh fa'a'tihim." O Abu Har, and this was a nickname, a loving nickname, which the Prophet used to address Abu Hurairah with. He said to him, "Take this utensil and give it to Ahl al-Suffa." So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he took the utensil and he went from one to the next, to the next, to the next, and they would drink from the milk. And each one would fulfill his thirst, quench his thirst, until there was very little which was left in the utensil. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he raised his head and he smiled. He said, "Ya Aba Har, O Abu Har." Abu Hurairah replied, "Labbayka ya Rasulullah." I am at your service, O Messenger of Allah. He said, Baqitu ana wa ant. He said, the only ones who are remaining is me and you. And there's only a small amount of milk left. Abu Huraira said, Sadaqta ya Rasulullah. You have spoken the truth, O Messenger of Allah. The Messenger said, Faq'ud washrab. Sit down and drink. I.e. he ordered Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to sit down and drink the milk. Abu Huraira said, فَقَعِدْتُ وَشَرِبْتُ. So I sat down and I drank. And he drank as much as he could. And then the Prophet said, اشرب, drink some more. فَشَرِبْتُ. And I drank again. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated again and again, drink and drink. And each time Abu Huraira would drink to his full. Until he said to him, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا أَجِدُ لَهُ مَكَانًا. He said, by the one, I swear by the one who has sent you with the truth, i.e. Allah, that I don't have any more to drink. I cannot drink any more. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the utensil and he also drank from the same utensil. And this was one of the miracles which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given. That sometimes something would be brought to him and there was so much barakah in it that people would drink and drink and drink or eat and eat, and yet there would be some which is spare. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. And there are benefits from this hadith. The first benefit is the importance of honoring the poor, looking after the poor. From the benefits of this hadith is that it's permitted for a person to allude to something with his actions, because he doesn't want to directly say something with his statements. Like Abu Huraira did with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, his excuse was to ask them a question about an ayah from the Quran. But what he was alluding to with his action was that he needs to be fed. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is that a person should be dignified, even in times of need and poverty. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, what prevented him from directly asking the companions and begging from them? His dignity. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is the great struggles that the Sahaba went through, and that they went through hunger and thirst to bring this knowledge to us. Also, the miracles which were given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also that a person should give precedence to the needs of the others before his own self. So notice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the last one to drink, even though the milk was gifted to him. And he ordered Abu Huraira to serve the others before he could drink himself. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is it is permitted for more than one person to drink from the same utensil, or drink from the same bottle, or eat from the same dish. And also, from the benefits of this hadith is it is permitted for a person to sometimes eat more than what is sufficient. So the asl is that a person eats to that which is sufficient. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directed us to, a third for drink and a third for food and a third for breathing. However, every now and again, it is permitted for a person to exceed and to eat to his full, or eat even more than his full, like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu did by the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the ulama, they mention that this is something which is done every now and again. So for example, if you're invited somewhere, or somebody gifts you food, or you're called to a walima, or called to somebody's house, that you can eat to your full and even more. And the companions, how often would they be gifted milk or have meat or fruit? Very rarely. And so when this food came to them, then they would eat to their full. And as for the hadith, this hadith is a principle when it comes to al-ukhuwah al-imaniyah, the brotherhood which is based upon Iman and Islam. And this hadith, it magnifies the sacred nature of a Muslim towards another Muslim. And it establishes these bonds which occur between two Muslims. That as soon as a person enters into Islam, he has entered into an ummah, a family, in which there are ties of brotherhood and sisterhood. And this brotherhood and this sisterhood which Islam has legislated, it necessitates obligations and rights and responsibilities. So the obligation of caring for each other and sincerely advising each other and making dua for each other and mutual love and compassion and working for each other's benefits and trying to keep away harms which harm each other and also protecting the sacred rights of each other, like the right of blood and the right of wealth and the right of honor, that these rights, they are not violated. And this feeling is only in Islam, meaning there is no other religion which has established this type of ukhuwa, this type of brotherhood like Islam has established. And this brotherhood and these rights, they weren't established by countries or people or by charters. Rather, they were legislated by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, above the seven heavens, above the arsh. And this shows us the greatness of this religion and the greatness of this ummah. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began by saying, لا تحاسدوا, meaning, do not have hasad against each other. And hasad, when we translate into English, we translate it as being jealousy or envy. And the ulama, they have translated hasad. So they said that hasad is tamanni zawalu ni'matillahi ala al-ghayr. It is for a person to want the blessing of Allah upon another person to be removed. For example, Allah has blessed another person with wealth, and then somebody has envy and jealousy over that person. So he desires for that person to be taken away from this blessing, and that person becomes poor, or his property is wasted. There is a person whom Allah has blessed with success in his business. Another person becomes envious and jealous of that person, and then he desires for the blessing of Allah to be removed from that person and his business to be a failure and bankruptcy. So this is the meaning of al-hasad. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he mentioned a definition which is even more precise. He said that al-hasad, it is karahatu ما أنعم الله على الغير وإن لم يتمنى الزوال. That al-hasad, it is for a person to dislike another person being blessed by Allah with something, even if he doesn't want that thing to be removed from him. So the mere dislike of another person being wealthy or another person being successful, this is al-hasad. And sometimes hasad may occur in the heart of a person and he has no control over it, because a person isn't in control of that which occurs in the heart. And this, for this reason, Allah does not punish a person or hold a person accountable for that which is in the heart, because a person doesn't control what enters into his heart and what his heart desires or hates. But a person controls his statements and his actions. And for this reason, Allah holds the people to account for their statements and their actions. As for the things which occur in the heart without any control of a person, then a person is not held accountable for this. So if a person says that my heart, it wants me to be better than other people. Or it wants my child to be more successful than the children of other people. Is this blameworthy? And is this hasad? And the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he answered this question. And he said that this isn't the jealousy and the envy which is blameworthy in Islam. Because it is natural for a person, for every person as a human being, to want to be better and more successful than other people. And every person desires for his child to be more successful, or at least as successful, than the children of the other people. And this is something which occurred at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that famous narration, which all of you know or have heard of, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companions, and he said to them, which tree is or resembles the believer the most? And a group of companions were sitting there, and each one of them gave different answers, and all of them were wrong. And amongst them was the youngest, Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu. And he knew inside him the answer of the question, and that it is the nakhla, the date palm or the palm tree. However, what prevented him from giving the answer was shyness. The fact that he is young and around him are the old senior companions, and he doesn't want to come across as being bashful in front of the senior companions. So he kept it inside him. He said, "Kana fi qalbi annaha an-nakhla," that I knew in my heart that the answer is the date palm. "Walakinni asghar al-qawm, falam atakallam." But I was the youngest of the people. So this shyness and this adab prevented him from speaking. His father Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَدَدْتُ أَنَّكَ قُلْتَ هَذَا. He said, I wish that you had spoken. I wish that you had given the answer. Why? Because Umar, his father, naturally would feel a sense of pride that my son knew the answer when nobody else knew the answer. Look how intelligent my son is, and he is the youngest of the people. So this natural feeling of wanting his son to be better and to demonstrate his intelligence, this entered into the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. And this wasn't the jealousy which is not permitted. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he mentioned a very beautiful point. He said, مَا مِن جَسَدٍ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ حَسَدٌ, that there is no body except that it contains inside it jealousy. There's no body, there's no human, except every single human contains within them jealousy. Because it is natural. And a person cannot control it. And then he said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّئِيمَ يُظْهِرُهُ وَالْكَرِيمَ يَكْتُمُهُ. He said, however, the lowly person, he shows the jealousy. And the Kareem or the Sharif, the dignified person, the honored person, he hides his jealousy. So this is the difference between a person of Iman and one who does not have Iman and Haya. Both of them may have jealousy inside them, but the mu'min controls his statements and his actions so he doesn't demonstrate his jealousy. He doesn't allow the jealousy to come out. And as for the la'im, the one who is undignified, the one who is lowly, the one who doesn't have the correct Islamic manners, then he acts upon the jealousy and he speaks upon the jealousy. So this is la tahasadu. The meaning of la tahasadu is not don't be envious of each other, rather don't demonstrate this envy, don't act upon it, don't speak with it, rather hide. If this envy and hate and jealousy enters into your heart, then hide it. And then he said, وَلَا تَنَاجَشُ. And the meaning of التَنَاجُش is artificially inflating the prices. So for example, let's say there's an auction
and you have no desire to buy this item, but you still bid. And why are you bidding? Just to inflate the price. This is at-tanajush. And this is something which is not permitted. And the only reason why a person does this is to harm another person. Or maybe it is for the benefit of his friend who is the seller. So there's an agreement between the seller and between another person that you keep raising your hand and keep inflating the price so other people bid over you and you can have 10%. And this isn't allowed. Why? Because it causes hatred and animosity between the believers. And then he said, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. And also don't have al-bughd. And in English, we translate al-bughd as being hatred. And if a person said, define what is al-bughd, define hatred. As Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, وَالْبُغْضْ لَا يُمْكِنْ تَعْرِيفُهَا. And as for al-bughd, i.e. hatred, it isn't possible for us to define hatred. He said, تَعْرِيفُهَا لَفْضُهَا. That the meaning of al-bughd is al-bughd. Every single one of us knows the meaning of al-bughd. Like we know the meaning of mahabbah. Like we know the meaning of al-khawf. So we know what love means. We know what hatred means. We know what fear means. There's no need to bring complex definitions to these terms. And the meaning here is that do not do things which cause hatred amongst you. And if some level of hatred does occur in your heart, then try to remove the hatred and remove the malice which is in your heart against another believer. And in reality, every single one of us, when the night comes, before we sleep, every one of us should hold our hearts to account. And before you sleep, you think that, do I have any malice in my heart toward another person today? Do I have any form of hatred or jealousy in my heart towards another person? And if you find in yourself some hatred or some malice or some spite, then remove it from your heart. And then a person sleeps, alhamdulillah, and he is content. And he is tranquil. As for a person sleeping upon hatred and malice, and waking upon hatred and malice, this only diseases a person's heart. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. And the meaning of a tadabur is giving each other your back, meaning cutting off from each other. So the dubar of a person is his back, and the qubul of a person is his front. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't give your backs to each other, mean don't turn away from each other, and don't cut off from each other. And then he said, وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ. And do not undercut each other. And the meaning of this is that if two people have agreed with each other a price for a particular merchandise, it isn't allowed for you to now come along and say, look, whatever agreement you had with that person, I'll give you £10 more. Break that agreement for this £10 and I'll buy it off you. This isn't permitted. As long as the deal has been agreed upon. But if it is still within negotiation, or it is an auction, al-muzayada, then this is permitted. Because the nature of buying and selling is that people outbid each other. And this can work both ways. So a person can say that for this item I will give you £100. And then another person comes along and say, I'll give you £110. And then another person comes and he says, I'll give you £120. And then the first person goes up. This is permitted. Or for example, a person says, for that £400 I will give you 20 kilos. And another person comes along and says, for the same £100 I'll give you 25 kilos. And so on and so forth. All of this is allowed. But what isn't allowed, and what enters into this hadith, is when two people have agreed on their transaction and the contract is done, then a third person comes along And he says, whatever your agreement was, I will give you £20. And this is something, brothers and sisters, which occurs. And sometimes we are doing it and we don't realize what we are doing. And this is a sin. And this is something which is haram. And it isn't permitted. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, that all of you should be brothers to each other in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't say, kunu ikhwana, that you should be brothers to each other based upon your qawm, or based upon your tongue, or based upon your lineage, or your tribe, or the land where you are from. Rather, he said that you should be brothers to each other based upon the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that which brings you together is your obedience to Allah. And those people who love each other for the sake of Allah, Allah will shade them under the shade of His throne on that day in which there is no other shade. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ ظِلِّهِ, 7 groups of people Allah will shade under His shade, either shade of His arsh, on a day in which there is no other shade. Amongst them, he said, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ, 2 men, 2 people, who loved each other for the sake of Allah. فَاجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ, they came together based on their love of Allah, and they departed from each other based upon their love for Allah. And therefore, the unity of the Muslims, it exceeds blood and ethnicity and tribes, and even family relationships. Because it is based upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. That a Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. And notice he said, Al-Muslim. And the meaning of Al, Alif Lam, means Alif Lam Al-Jins. Meaning a Muslim, any Muslim. If he has Iman in Allah on the final day, then he is the brother of another Muslim. And notice, this isn't restricted to a particular madhab, or a particular masjid, or a particular group of people. Rather, every Muslim is your brother. And you have to love every single Muslim, regardless of their obedience and disobedience. So every Muslim, as long as he is a person of Islam, he has Iman in Allah, he has Iman in the final day, he has Iman in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is to be loved. How much do you love him? According to the strength of his Iman and the strength of his obedience. So the people of righteousness and the people of Sunnah and the people of Iman, they are loved more than the people of disobedience, or for example, the people of innovation and the people of desires. So the base love is there. The base love is there for every single Muslim, regardless of his obedience and disobedience. Of course, if a person leaves the fold of Islam, then there's no muhabba. But we're talking about people within al-Islam, amongst the different madhahib and amongst the different groups. Then the strength of the love is based upon the strength of their obedience and the strength of their Iman. So why do we love Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu more than any other Muslim? Because of the strength of his Iman and the strength of his taqwa and his obedience to Allah. And then those who came after them and those who came after them. And it is a mistake for a person to say that the people of innovation, they are not loved ever. Or the people of disobedience are not loved ever. This is a mistake. Every Muslim is loved on account of his Islam and Iman. But then the strength and love and the strength of hate is based upon the strength of the person's Iman and Sunnah and obedience and istiqamah and so on and so forth. How is this love and hatred demonstrated? This is a different thing. So you may be harsh in advising somebody who you love more. And you may be more gentle with advising another person and yet you may love that person less. Meaning, there may be a person upon the sunnah and makes a mistake, and when you advise him, you do it harshly. And there may be a person from the people of sinning, from the people of desires, and they make a mistake, the same mistake, and yet you advise them gently. So when it comes to how you demonstrate this love, then according to the maslaha and the mafsada. And this, we have mentioned in previous lessons, was demonstrated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest ulama from the sahaba, afattanun anta ya Mu'adh? Are you a fitna maker, O Mu'adh, when he lengthened the salah? Another man from the Bedouins, and he urinates in the masjid, and yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam excuses him and he is gentle with him. Because he knows that this in this way works over here, and this in this way works over here. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and his two companions, and they are sahaba, he boycotts them for 50 days and 50 nights. The munafiqoon, he may keep a relationship with them, and they pray in al-Masjid al-Nabawi, and he doesn't order for them to be boycotted, because he knows sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this works over here and this works over here. And in this statement, al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, that the Muslim towards another Muslim is a brother, means that you love for your Muslim that which you love for yourself, and you hate for your Muslim brother that which you hate for yourself. Then he said, la yadhlimuhu. Then if we're brothers to each other, then we don't oppress each other in any way. Wala yakhdhuluhu. And neither are we allowed to betray each other. And the meaning of at-takhdhil, betrayal, is when your Muslim brother is in need of you, you don't turn your back. Like, for example, on the battlefield. At-tawalli yawm al-zahf, fleeing on the battlefield is from the seven major sins. Because when you're on the battlefield and the Muslim army is proceeding forth, if you flee and you turn back, you have betrayed your Muslim brothers. And this is why it is one of the seven major sins. So it isn't allowed for a Muslim to betray his Muslim brother in time of his need. As an example, one person is oppressing another Muslim. And you're there and you witness this oppression. And you say, I'm not going to speak. Or you turn away. And you know one is the zalim and one is the mazloom. So neither do you help the mazloom, nor do you prevent the zalim, but you remain silent. Or you walk away. I don't want to get involved. If I get involved, that zalim is going to speak bad about me. This isn't allowed. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, la yakhdhuluhu, that in his time of need, when he's being oppressed, when his right is being taken, you have to defend him. And you're not allowed to forsake and leave that person. And this is mentioned in some hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ma min imri'in yakhdhulu imra'an musliman في موضع تنتهك فيه حرمته وينتقص فيه من عرضه إلا خذله الله في موطن يحب فيه نصرته. That any person who betrays another Muslim in a time in which his sanctity is being violated and his honor is being violated, accept that Allah will also betray that person at that time when he wants for the help of Allah. And he said, وَمَا مِنْ إِمْرِئٍ يَنْصُرُ مُسْلِمًا فِي مَوْضِعٍ يُنْتَقْصُ فِيهِ مِنْ عِرْضِهِ. That there is no person who aids his Muslim brother in a time in which his honor is being violated. إِلَّا نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوْطِنٍ يُحِبْ نُصْرَتُهُ. Except that Allah will also aid him and support him, and that time in that place when he wants the aid and the support of Allah. So therefore it isn't allowed for a Muslim to betray his Muslim brothers and his Muslim sisters. And the least which a person has, and it is great, is a dua. So if a part of the Muslim ummah is being oppressed, and you're physically not able to go and physically support them and defend them, that which you do control is money, giving money. And that which you do control is making a dua and al-qunut. So if a person doesn't even do this, then perhaps it enters into a takhdeel. And then he said, لا يكذبه. And in one narration, لا يكذبه. And these two words, they have two different meanings. لا يكذبه, meaning he doesn't lie to his Muslim brother. A Muslim does not lie to his Muslim brother. By way of statements or by way of actions. So by way of statements, lying, which we know, not speaking the truth. By way of actions, not being truthful, deceiving that person. Or when it comes to buying and selling, ripping that person off, not being truthful when working for that person. So this is in terms of la yakdhibuhu. As for la yukadhibuhu, this means that when a person speaks, you don't believe him. You accuse him of a lying, a takdhib, you disbelieve him. And the asl with a Muslim is that we believe each other and that Muslims are truthful people. So it isn't allowed for a Muslim to accuse another Muslim of lying or not accept his speech because you think it is a lie without any reason or justification. If there is a qareena, if there's some justification or a circumstance, or there is a suspicion which is based upon something, like for example, a person is known for lying, or known for exaggerating, or a person is known for fighting the people, or he doesn't know how to control his anger, or he's a criminal. Now there's some justification behind the suspicion. And this is called al-ihtiyat, taking caution. So there's difference between a person having ihtiyat, taking caution, this is something which is correct, and a person having su'adhan, which is suspicion without any basis. And al-ihtiyat is something which is praiseworthy, i.e. a person taking caution and protecting himself and his property and his children and his family. And as for suspicion and doubt without any justification, this is something which is blameworthy. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la yahqiruhu. La yahqiruhu from at-tahqir. And the meaning of tahqir is belittling somebody. Looking down at somebody, thinking that person isn't worthy of your level. This is at-tahqir. And a person doesn't know who is more beloved with Allah. So you may see a person and you think that he is below you, and yet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is of a greater standing. So it isn't allowed for a believer to belittle and look down upon another believer. He may have less wealth than you, or live in a house which isn't as nice as your house, or drive a car which isn't as good as your car, or not be as educated as you, yet he could still be more beloved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And often is the case that a person is more beloved with Allah. And for this reason, the first people who will enter into Jannah are the fuqara from this ummah, the poor and the needy of this ummah. And as for the aghniya, as for the wealthy amongst this ummah, they will be delayed into entering Jannah after the fuqara. So the fuqara, they went through some struggles and difficulties in this dunya, and they had sabr and they had iman, and so Allah rewarded them by allowing them to enter into Jannah first. And the aghniya, the rich people, they had an easy life, a nice lifestyle. And they didn't go through the same struggles which the poor people went through. So they come second when it comes to entering into Jannah. And this is affirmed in an authentic hadith. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, At-taqwa hahuna. And he pointed to his heart, to his chest three times. Meaning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he emphasized the importance of the heart. And that the asl of at-taqwa, it is in the heart. And the statements of the tongue and the actions of the limbs, they emanate from the heart. And three times he said, At-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna. Each time he was pointing at his chest. And we have studied from other hadith that it is the heart which is the core of the actions. And if a person rectifies his heart, then his actions are rectified. And if a person's heart is corrupt, then the actions also become corrupt. So the asal of rectification and at-taqwa is in the heart. And then the tongue and the actions, they verify or they reject. So if the actions are correct and righteous, then this indicates the righteousness of the heart. And if the actions are corrupt, then this also indicates the corruption of the heart. And the reason why I mention this is because some people, they misuse this hadith, saying that who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me by my actions? Didn't the Prophet say taqwa is here? But the same Prophet who said at-taqwa is here, he's the same one who said don't oppress, and don't betray, and don't lie, and don't take each other's right, and don't sin, and don't listen to music, and don't remove your hijab, and the other matters which are haram. The same Prophet. So yes, the taqwa is at the heart of a person, but the actions of a person and the statements of a person shows us and indicates to us the state of a person's heart. And at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayat and revelation would come down praising the iman of a person or condemning the heart of a person. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away and the revelation stopped. And now we have no way of knowing what's in the heart of a person. And therefore, like Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْنَا بِالظَّوَاهِرِ, that the only thing we have to judge a person is that which is apparent. So we see righteousness from a person, we say the person is righteous. We say disobedience from a person, and this is disobedience. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe Allah will forgive that person. And Allah knows the secrets of a person. So a person may show us righteousness, but inside him he hides evil. This is with Allah. Or a person may have some sins, but inside them they are seeking forgiveness from Allah and they stay at night doing private actions of goodness, and so Allah forgives their sins. And this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, مَنْ خَدَعَنَا بِاللَّهِ إِنْ خَدَعْنَا, that whoever deceives us by Allah, we will be deceived. Meaning if somebody shows us righteousness, and he's showing us obedience from that which we can see, we will be deceived. That which is between him and Allah, that remains between him and his Lord. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, It is sufficient for a person to be judged as being evil that he belittles his Muslim brother. Meaning, at-tahqeer, this isn't something which is a little. Just on account of a person belittling his Muslim brother, this is enough that a person is evil. Then he gave us a general principle, kullul muslim alal muslim haram. That a Muslim, everything which relates to a Muslim is haram for another Muslim. Meaning, just as alcohol is haram for you, and you're not allowed to approach that alcohol, then also the property of a Muslim is haram. You're not allowed to approach his property. And the honor of a Muslim is haram. You're not allowed to violate the honor of a Muslim. And like this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned three things. He said, damuhu wa maluhu wa irdhu. Meaning, generally speaking, everything about a Muslim cannot be violated. Everything is sacred. Everything has a hurma. And the meaning of hurma is a sanctity. Just like Makkah has a sanctity, and Yawm Arafah has a sanctity, then also everything which is related and connected to a Muslim has a sanctity, and it cannot be violated. And then he specified the blood, either life, and the property and honor. Now when it comes to blood and property, everybody understands this. Very few people steal. Very, very few people take the life of another Muslim. But when it comes to the honor of another Muslim, then all of us fall into it, except for the one whom Allah has mercy upon. And this is because we don't consider violating the honor of a person to be like taking the wealth and the property of a person. And yet, when it comes to the honor of a person being violated, then there are severe penalties in Islam. For example, if a person accuses another Muslim of adultery and he doesn't bring witnesses and evidences, the punishment for this is 80 lashes in public. And yet, no wealth was taken, no blood was spilt, no physical injury was done. It was only the honor of a Muslim, the dignity of a Muslim. So 80 lashes just for a word against another Muslim. And as for swearing to another Muslim, then also the Qadi has a right to bring some form of punishment according to what he sees befitting. Meaning, if one Muslim said to another Muslim, Ya Haywan, O animal, O donkey, or swore to the mother of that person, and it was taken to a Qadi, and it was verified by witness that yes, he said this statement, then it is up to the Qadi to make taqzir of this person, to punish this person with whatever he sees befitting. Why? Because the honor of the other Muslim has been violated through this slur or through this name. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in his last sermon when he was standing in Mecca on Yawm Arafah, he said, Inna dama'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum. That verily your property and your blood and your honor is sacred upon you. Ka hurmati yawmikum hadha. Like the sacredness of this day. Fi baladikum hadha. In the sacredness of this land. Fi shahrikum hadha. And the sacredness of this month. And it was Dhul Hijjah, which is from Ashhurul Hurum, from the sacred months. And it was in Mecca, in Arafah, which is from the sacred places. And it was Yawm Arafah, in the Hajj of the Prophet, which is a sacred day. So he mentioned that the honor of each other is sacred, like the sanctity of Mecca in Dhul Hijjah on the day of Arafah. Wal Hajju Arafah. And Hajj, the core of it is Arafah. But we consider the blood of the people to be something which is severe and their property. As for the honor of the people, then it is taken and it is spoken against. And some of the Salaf, they used to say that speaking against the ir of the people, fakihatul majalis. This is the fruit of the sittings, meaning it is sweet. There is a sweetness when it comes to speaking against each other's honor. People find enjoyment in speaking and taking each other's honor, gossiping and qila wa qal and backbiting, and all of us fall into it, and may Allah forgive us. And as Shaykh Ibn Uthmeen rahimullah says, that if you're sitting with another person and you see him speaking about another person, you should stop him. You say, Ya akhi ittaqillah, akhi udhkurullah, remember Allah. Don't speak about the sins of the people. Don't speak about the weaknesses of the other people. Are you happy with your good deeds being taken? Are you happy with taking the sins of these people on Yawm al-Qiyamah? So speak about that which is more beneficial for you in the Akhirah. As for a person occupying himself with the sins of the people and the weaknesses of the people and the defects of the people, then this person is violating the honor of the people. But Fakihatul Majalis, it is something which is enjoyable and something which the people find sweet. So much so that you might find a person and he prays Qiyam al-Layl and he fasts and he's very careful not to touch riba and not to do anything which is haram. When he sits, he speaks and he speaks and he speaks. Because the irdh of the people are used to speaking and violating the irdh of the people. As for the Salaf and the Sahaba, they were different. In fact, some of the Salaf, they said that had it come from the skies that you're allowed to violate the honor of the people, we would still not violate the honor of the people. Even if it was something which was halal, our dignity and our iman would not allow us to do this, even if it was halal. And this hadith, it contains many benefits. From the benefits of this hadith is that al-dhulm isn't allowed, and at-tahqeer, belittling, isn't allowed, and violating each other's rights and sanctity is not allowed, and betraying another Muslim in time of his need is not allowed. And also from the benefits of this hadith is the importance of the heart and the greatness of the Muslim brotherhood and the ties which bind us together, and many other benefits from this hadith. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.